Amen. And what the writer said here is, we shall, and we'll talk about this more as we go into the teaching, but you shall receive power. You know, how many likes the idea of power? I've told you before, it's the Greek word dunamis, which is where we get our word dynamite. And, you know, blow things up. There's power behind that. You know, there's power to push the enemy away from your home, to push the enemy away from your children, to push the enemy away from your county and your city. I mean, there's power. We should be operating in that power. Now I want to throw you something here. It says you shall be after the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be. I mean, what's the difference between should and shall? You know, there's some things that says you should do it. But then there's things that says you shall do it. We're talking about life, and here in the scripture says you shall. You shall be, when you're supposed to be witnesses. I mean, there should be things happening in your life that's a witness after what's living inside of you. Where? Look what it says. In Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and let's just cover it all. In the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. So do we feel confident that entails Bell County and Pineville, Kentucky? Amen. Harlan, Kentucky, or Middlesboro, or Harrogate, Tennessee. You know, we don't want to leave anybody. Oh, he just said Pineville. I'm excused. No, you know, every area, every part, we're supposed to be witnesses. I put this in my notes. This particular Bible that I'm using here is one of the Bibles that I use this quite often. Wanda purchased this for me for my birthday in 1987. Wow. Long, long time ago. It's an open Bible. I don't know what you're thinking. Every Bible should be an open Bible. But, there's this little thing in the back. There's some things in the back of the Bible, you know, some helps that you can use. And I remember this being there, Judy. And I just want to read it to you. It says, give us a watchword for the hour, a thrilling word, a word of power, a battle cry, a flaming breath, a call to conquest or to death, a word to rouse the church from rest. Let me know as we need to be roused from rest. A word to heed the master's high request. The call is given. Now, church, arise. The watchword is evangelize. Who? To fallen men, a dying race, make known the gift of his glorious grace. The world now in darkness lies, O church of power, evangelize. Amen. And so we're going to talk about evangelism and what you know, us as a church, and what that speaks to us as a church. Now let's read from Acts chapter 2. Hallelujah, God has a heart for the lost. Do you believe that? Do you believe God has a heart for the lost? Do you believe that's his passion? The scripture says Jesus came to seek and save. That was how many, you know, he found you. Amen. How many knows he'll go to the lowest depths to find us? He'll reach down in the lowest gutter. He'll reach down in the dirt. You know, he'll get down there right in the dirt with you. Amen. Listen, we got to realize, it's time to change the picture of who he is. And if we're going to win the world, you know, we got to show the world a picture of who Christ is. He's not here to judge us. Therefore, listen, since Christ is not here to judge us. Now, mind you, one day, you know, he's going to be our judge. Amen. But, of course, you know, if you're a Christian, you're not going to stand in the white throne judgment. And that's a whole nother message in itself. But listen, since he is not here to judge us, we as the church, Greg, and as Christians who carry his name, that is not our job to judge people. Amen. We are supposed to love people. Now, we may not condone their sin and the things they are involved in, but nonetheless, we love them. We got to love the homosexual. You know, I was driving up the road yesterday, and I was listening to a Christian radio station, and I was listening to this program. This guy was ministering, and the guy ministering was a delivered, set free homosexual. And he was talking about, man, I listened to this teaching he was talking about. It was so interesting because he talked about what, when he was involved in that sin and that bondage, he talked about, Randy, about how the homosexual community viewed what the church said and the things that the church statements they made about that, the gay community, if you will. And he said it was so far from the truth and not scriptural that they needed somebody to share the love of God with them and not to push them down. You know, again, I understand the scripture, understand it's an abomination to God. Understand that. Understand it's totally in opposition to what God created. We understand that fully. But listen, I want to tell you something. And I'm way ahead of myself in my notes. But until we become a church that's willing to love people regardless of who they are, regardless of the sin they're involved in, God's not going to send revival. Because in revival, you're going to get those kind of folk. Amen. Everybody that comes in here is not going to look like you. They're not going to like what you like, and they're not going to smell like you. Come on. Is it the truth? You know, they may have piercings. They may have purple hair or whatever, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But we need to love them. If we're going to evangelize and reach the lost, we got to love them and let them know God loves them. Amen? Is everybody with me? How many believe that's what Jesus would do if he was here? Newsflash, we're no better than they are. It's just the grace of God that we are what we are. You know what? It's time for the church. It's time for the church to become real and say, you know, I am nothing without him. You know, we come into the church sometimes, and can I just speak the truth to you? We come into the church sometimes, and we're so guilty of putting on this facade and saying, I'm this little neat packaged Christian. And when everybody, basically when it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, everybody sitting in the pew has got some kind of problem, and they're facing something, and they need the grace of God every day of their life, amen, to be able to overcome whatever it is they're struggling with. Amen? All right. None of that was in my notes. That's all thrown in for free. All right. Acts chapter 2. I'm excited about evangelism. I got to hurry, though. Look, Judy, you're supposed to rebuke me when I say that. Verse 17, and it came to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Everybody say all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I must be old because I seem to dream a lot of dreams. Go ahead, young men. Somebody say, go ahead, Curtis. I'm waiting for you to say, I'm seeing visions. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show you wonders. Everybody say wonders. In heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. Verse 21. Look at verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, everybody say whosoever, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Daniel. Now, here's the thing. I think it's time. I really believe, and I think this teaching is timely. I think it's time for the church to return to what should be our first purpose. Amen. And that's fulfilling the Great Commission. We are to build the kingdom. And the way we build the kingdom is to add souls to the kingdom. And to make disciples of men. Amen. It's time for us to get excited about seeing someone converted and seeing someone led to Christ and not just use this power for our own benefit. Amen. Our first purpose, fulfilling the Great Commission. If we truly, now listen, I was going over my notes downstairs and I thought, wow, even in evangelism teaching, well, I'll tell you what's going to really come out here in just a few minutes. Unity's still going to come out. And I'll tell you something else that's really going to come. And I still feel that there's some prophetic words in here in this teaching, that the Lord would have us to hear. Listen, if we truly have a heart. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you want revival? Now, remember I told you before, some crazy things happen in revival. I was listening to John Kilpatrick. How many's familiar with the Brownsville revival? You know, I don't know it went for how long. Long time. Several years. I don't know, it went every night for a long time, and then they stopped to where they were going like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday or something, wasn't it? Revival services. And even at that, I mean, it's still people lined up, you know. And I've heard testimonies, I've heard Lyndall Cooley talk about, I read his book and I've heard him talk about that the area in Pensacola where the church was, it was a red light district. You know, when the prostitutes walked in front of their church and all of a sudden they looked up and the prostitutes were in their church. But I don't think it's any secret that we have prostitutes. You know, the prostitution has really gotten out of hand in this area. And reason is drug abuse. It's time just to speak the truth, ain't it? We're going to be the church. You know, we're going to have to be the church. Amen. And I gotta be honest with you. It bothers me, Calvin. It bothers me when we let out. We have a Holy Spirit filled service, so to speak. And we dismiss and they're out here walking in front of our church. That bothers me. You know, I struggle with that. I'm looking for something to transpire in an area of where they're either going to come in or they're under such conviction that they got to make a circle around. They got to go around us. And there can be that kind of conviction to where they got to come in. I mean, here's an example. I mean, I've seen people when the conviction hit in the service and people got to come to the altar. They got to leave. You know, they're going to get up and make a trip down the aisle. It's one way or the other. Amen. And that's what we want. Okay. So if we truly want revival and we're going to see things like that. It's not going to be this little neat packaged. Are you with me? You know, I remember John Kilpatrick, and I hope no one's offended by this, but he was talking about some of the things that happened in revival. He said he had this biker guy, and if you're offended, you'll just have to forgive me. But, I'm speaking after him, and he said they had this biker guy, this group came from California, and they had people from all over, worldwide. And they had this biker guy that he baptized and he got saved. Rough, big, rough biker guy, you know. And he baptized him and said, when he came up out of the water, you know, he said, he smacked John Kilpatrick on the back and said, preacher, I love you. You give them hell. John said, he looked at it. Another occasion. Hey, listen, everybody wasn't raised like we are, you know? You got to realize that there's different cultures and different people. People look different. They, you know, we think that this is the only place in the world. If they don't look like us, act like us, talk like us, then they must be some, there must be something wrong with them. Amen. He said he baptized a lady. Now, if you're offended, I'm sorry, but said he baptized. And we're talking about, we want revival. He baptized this woman, he and Steve Hill. And let me add this. Anybody that went to Brownsville will tell you that there wasn't this deep preaching of the word and deep revelation. It was conviction. He said Steve Hill just got up and preached and it was conviction. And the sinners ran to the altar. Yeah, they just ran to the altar. But he said he baptized this lady once and she came up out of the water, he and Steve Hill. And said she came up out of the water and she said, this is better than sex. And he said, Steve Hill said, did she say? And John said, yes, she did. So I'm saying that to say this. You know, we think we have it all figured out as to what God's going to do. But we need to expect the unexpected. Amen. We need to say, God, we just want you to show up. And we don't care how you do it. We just want to see people changed. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see somebody. And if we get some guy in here like that and he smacks me on the back, you know, that's all right, Randy. It'll be all right. We'll disciple them. We'll teach them. We'll get some new converts classes going. You know, we'll teach them. And before you know it, these people can make, they can be called into fivefold ministries. They can make prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists. And, they can be filled with the Spirit. They can operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. All right. Okay. So let me ask you again. Do you want revival? Now, listen to what I'm going to tell you. If we truly have a heart for and want revival, his passions, everybody say his passions. His passions shall increasingly become our passions. And that is to rescue the unsaved world. Listen, listen, folks, that is what's at the center of God's heart. Is to rescue the unsaved world. Amen? That's at the center of his heart. How many, you know, why do you think Jesus came? Jesus didn't come just so we could receive our blessing every Sunday. And there's nothing wrong with that. He didn't come just so we could operate in the gifts of the Spirit. He came to see the lost saved. Amen. So to understand the Lord's desire for the unsaved, we just simply got to review Peter's discourse in Acts, what we read here in chapter 2. Now remember, the disciples have been with Jesus for 40 days after his resurrection. So I think it's possible that the words which Peter took from the book of Joel, James, might have also been spoken by Jesus himself during that time. Amen. I think, you know, it's possible that he might have spoke that to the disciples before his ascension. You know, because that was what he wanted to say, you know, and every whosoever shall call upon the name of, you know, we quote that. Don't lose me now. We quote that over and over. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Young, old man going to dream dreams, young man going to see visions, but we never make it to that last verse. And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're all about the prophesying and we need that. Don't get me wrong. We want that. We're all about the dreams. We're all about the, we, you know, But we need those things to equip the saints. But we also need that part of the power of the conviction, power of the Holy Spirit that's going to save the lost. You know, it's time to put a baptismal tank in and start leading some people in the water. Amen. And building the kingdom through conversions. God's putting the pieces together. He's bringing those in that he wants in the church that's already saved. We know that. It's time to see the lost come in. Amen. Exodus 14:13. Moses said to the people, fear not, stand still and see what? Come on, say it again. The salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. Psalm 18:46. The Lord lives and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. Psalm 62. He only is my rock. I'm going too fast on it, Daniel. I'll slow down. Psalm 62:6. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any others. None of the heavenly men can be saved. You getting the picture here. Matthew 1:21, he shall call his name Jesus, and he shall what? Save his people from their sin. Amen. So he came to seek and save. And what we have here in Acts chapter 2 is Pentecost Sunday. And several thousand people are suddenly drawn to this spiritual phenomenon that is taking place. Oh, Lord, speak to us. Give me your attention just for a few more moments. I want you to hear what the Lord wants to speak to us. Several thousand people are drawn to this phenomenon, this explosion, this spiritual explosion that's happened in the upper room. The sound of rushing wind and the flaming tongues of fire. And Peter rises up and he quotes that verse. This is that. Which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, with signs, everybody say with signs. With signs, with such signs, we should say the church was born. Amen. Here comes a prophetic word. With signs, with such signs, the church was born. Now, hear what I'm going to tell you. With greater signs, the church will be completed. Amen. Everybody say greater. With greater signs, the church is going to be completed. I think this inaugural event, if you will, was very significant. Amen. Do you agree with that? It was very significant. Pentecost. But you got to understand, it represented only the first installment of what God wanted to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just the first installment. And not the total completed package. You know, they were anticipating this, but that was just the first installment. And I think Pentecost celebrated only the first fruits of the coming harvest. Jesus said the full harvest will be at the end of the age. Amen. So he promised here he's going to pour out his Spirit, not just on the Jews, but on every race, creed, color, the North Africans, the Europeans, not on just any one group, but on all mankind. Everybody say all. On all mankind. And so the disciples experienced a great beginning. But do you realize there's nearly 2 billion souls that aren't saved? Nearly 2 billion. Now, the scripture says this gospel is going to preach to every kindred, nation, and tongue before Jesus comes. In Matthew chapter 24. So, I think what I'm trying to get you to see here is when we see the scriptures, don't just focus on what happened, but focus on what's coming. Amen. And the evangelism is going to take place. And I really wanted to direct your thoughts. I think when we see revival, too often we see just an outpouring of the Spirit upon the church. But God wants to get it out these doors. And He wants to get it on this community. I believe in God that when you sit down to pray over your meal in the restaurant, the power of the Holy Spirit's going to fall upon you. And you may begin to weep and somebody next to you is going to break. Amen. You know, they said Smith Wigglesworth could walk into a building. He walked into a factory and they shut the machines off because of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. I read where Charles Spurgeon was going to speak in this auditorium, and they had people in there getting the auditorium ready, and there was a man up in the top over the platform installing stuff for the service, and Spurgeon walked into the building and was just going to test the acoustics in the building for the service that night. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." And the guy climbed down and came and got saved. Now, you say, well, that's then. This is now. It's the same Spirit. Amen. When we pastored at Liberty, our first pastorate in 1994, God gave me such a hunger for souls. We took the church and we had 20 people. And, that first Easter, which would have been in 95, we took the church in October of 94. We started in January of that year fasting for souls for Easter. And we had someone fasting around the clock, not for nothing but souls. The church was it this big, Wanda? Maybe a little bit bigger. Yeah, it was a little bit bigger than this. It'd probably seat about 125 comfortably. And we started fasting and praying for souls. That first Easter in the church, we had 257 people in there. But that wasn't the beauty of it. I'd watch people come. I was greeting people. I'd have to walk in my office and gather myself, tears. I'd gather myself because I knew God was going to save people. We hit the first note on the keyboard and conviction fell before we ever sung a song. That morning, 16 came to the altar. We had 16 saved that morning. The guy that owned the property built a pond next to the church. He had a little small dozer. He built a pond to baptize people. And, one baptismal service there. We baptized 30 at one time. It was a beauty. It's such a beautiful thing. We took them all out in the water together, made a big circle, and they'd come around. We'd baptize them. It's time to get a hunger and passion for that kind of stuff. Amen. And I know it starts right here. It starts with your pastor, but, I'm going to convey to you my vision, and it's time for us to get a hunger and a passion to see souls saved. Outreach, evangelism. Are you with me? Amen. Is anybody with me? All right. We can stand a few more minutes, can't we? I know people got some of you got to work in the morning. Well, guess what? I got to work tonight. Yeah. I got to be there at 11 o'clock. What time is it? We had an accident at one of our mines in Harlan. You guys probably saw it on the news. Some of you, we actually had a fatality. And I worked 18 hours on it yesterday, and I thought I was about done with it, but they called me about 4 this afternoon and said, "You got to be back up there tonight at 11. So I got to go back up there and actually got to go underground to where the accident happened. And I'm not really looking forward to it. So keep your pastor in your prayers tonight, because I'm not really crazy about going back up there, but nonetheless, duty calls and I have to go. All right. Okay. So he's going to pour forth his Spirit. The word pour forth means to reach one's goal. And give an example. When athletes compete, you know, they're competing for a goal. And they're gonna leave everything on the field. They're gonna leave it all out there. And so basically, when he said he's gonna pour forth, basically what he was saying was, I'm gonna give everything I have to see people saved. I'm gonna do all I can to turn the unsaved toward me. When he said, I'm gonna pour out. I'm gonna leave it all out there, Judy. So here's what the Lord is telling us that we should expect at the end of the age. Now I have this underlined. And I believe this is prophetic. An anointing is coming to the church that's going to rise up and release a prophetic generation. Even our sons and daughters. Come on now, this youth group's growing down here, but it's not growing in size just for numbers. It's growing in the spirit. God has blessed us with a wonderful youth pastor. We're so blessed to have Justin and Jessica. And they are growing in the spirit. And God's going to raise up a prophetic generation. Your sons and daughters are going to prosper. And you got to see what this leads to. Amen. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Additionally, some of y'all need to hear what I'm getting ready to say to you right now. There's going to be a restoration of grace from God to people who seemingly have missed their destiny. Wow. There's going to be a supernatural grace from God poured out on people who feel like they have missed their destiny. And I don't care what age you are. Because God's going to put it right in place. God's lining things up. He's going to put you right where he wants you to be in the destiny. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. He's going to take those plans. He's going to fulfill your destiny. And when your individual destiny is fulfilled, it's going to add to the corporate destiny of this body. Amen. Somebody say, thank God for it. Now, old man's going to dream dreams. The young and experienced, the Lord says, is not going to be excluded. Young men's going to see visions. Now, I think what the Lord is promising, he's going to be alive in the church. We're going to see those things happen, but ultimately, it's to add to the kingdom, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a sign to the unbeliever when you see sons and daughters prophesy. I promise you, these kids go over here at Bell County High School or Bell Central or wherever. And I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to deal. Now listen, hear what I'm going to tell you. Well, I know that the spirit of religion can rise up and try to stifle prayer in the schools. It can try to stifle things like that. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't mess with the anointing. I'm telling you. And, you know, I remember, when the revival hit Brownsville, I heard Steve Hill talking about that one of the kids in the high school, one of the high schools, started praying over the food and revival broke out. A group of kids were in a van and they were on their way somewhere and they stopped at this gas station. And the Spirit of the Lord hit them and they got out of the van and they were laid all over the grass there. And they said, you got to come down here and do something with these kids. They're laying everywhere. We don't know what to do with them. And, you know, I'm telling you, they're not going to mess with the anointing. Now, what does that do ultimately? It's not just, Randy, so we can see these kids fall out in the spirit, so we can see these kids prophesy. I'm telling you, revival is going to break out in our schools. And we better be ready to receive it. And that's why we got to have a bigger facility. I'm going to say it again. We're talking about building a sanctuary that'll seat a little over 250, but it's not big enough. If we have the vision and we believe what God wants to do, it's not big enough. Amen. Do you believe that? All right. Okay. We got to reach the world. He's going to supply the church. He's going to grant wonders in the sky. And I'm going to tell you, some people are going to miss it. It goes on to talk about some tough stuff, blood and vapor and fire and smoke. Amen. So what he's saying is, here's what he's saying. He's going to do everything he can to absolutely fill the church with power, the heavens with signs and all these things. And so everyone who calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. You know, this is God's vision. Amen. What did he bring the children of Israel out of Egypt for? I've told you before about 3,000 killed at Sinai, and then 3,000 saved on the day of Pentecost. Now, here's where we're, let me try to wind this up. Give me just a few more minutes, but I don't want you to miss what I'm going to tell you. On the day of Pentecost, what were they in? What? One mind and one accord. Now, if we are truly going to possess the heart of God, please don't miss this. Everybody look at me. If we are truly going to possess the heart of God, we have to care about the spiritually lost. Amen? I have this underlined. The final goal is not just unity, but unity in outreach. Together. And that's our desire, is to reach the world. I have this underlined. Listen, you got to catch this. And you know, this is not a real popular message in a full gospel church. The ultimate purpose of Pentecost was not phenomena, but winning the lost. Every nation, Randy, Jews, devout Jews, people came from everywhere. They were all there. And God gets all these people together. And then he pours out his spirit. People hears the gospel in their language. 3,000 souls in one day. Amen? So it wasn't just about phenomena. It's about winning the lost. Evangelism. The outcome of a unified prayer focus of the disciples was winning the lost. They came together in the upper room, one mind, one accord. The Holy Spirit was poured out. But listen, will you agree with me that if there wouldn't have been the salvation of the souls, that the power that came there that day would have been wasted? Amen. Because the whole purpose was to win souls. Now I know what some of you are thinking. What about deliverance? What about healing? What about miracles? Listen, all those things will be an overflow. Amen. That's the extra curriculum, if you will. If we get a desire and a passion, I promise you, listen to me. If you get God's heart and you get the passion that God has for lost souls, God's going, the things that we're seeing right now, the things that are happening in this church right now, that's going to increase. That's going to multiply. You want to receive a blessing? You want to see something happen? See somebody come to the altar. Amen. There is no greater blessing. I fear sometimes that we miss it, you know, when we have unsaved or backslidden or struggling people that come into our services, and we're so focused on getting in the spirit for ourselves that they leave unchanged. God forgive us, and God help us that when an unsaved person, not to embarrass them. Now, and I don't believe in going back and trying to drag people to the altar. I never did believe in that. Embarrassing people. If God's not dealing with them, they'll come prematurely. They're not going to stay anyway. That's what I'm talking about. But that should be our focus. If they're here, we should be praying, God save them. Amen? Let them get under conviction. Holy Spirit comes to convict. Does he not? All right, let me try to bring this to a close here tonight. Amen. Final outcome, 3,000 souls. The disciples were in one place and one accord. Because of that unity, the Holy Spirit fell, but it fell with power. Amen. We go back to John 17:21, that they all may be one as you, Father, and are me and I and you. God is not going to, listen, I'm gonna give this to you, and I'll try to quit. I want you to hear what I'm going to say to you. God is not going to add people to a divided, selfish, ambitious, or carnal church. Help us, Lord. He's not going to add to a church that's filled with pride. It says we're better than you. Our music's better than yours. Our singers are better than yours. You guys haven't figured it out yet. We know the Spirit better than you. We have a prayer language. We've arrived. Amen. He's going, I think he'll restrain the harvest until we move into a Christ-centered church with unity. Amen. Until we step up. Everybody say step up to a Christ-centered unity. Amen. And that's why we've been laboring to unite the body of Christ. So only as the church becomes one does the world then believe. The world is looking for a church that's united, that's one. You know, some people sit back and, well, they got more problems in the church than I do. They fight all the time. You know, they talk about each other, they judge each other, they're hypocrite, you know. They'll pick anything to hide behind, you know. But they're looking for a church that's unified and loves each other and loves them. So I challenge you, don't backbite. Amen. Do you love your pastor? Don't chew on each other's backs. You know, these six things that God hates, and what, seven is abomination. He that sows discord among the brethren. Oh man, this is good teaching. All right. Everybody wants to know what our vision is, don't they? You should. You know, Pastor, what's your vision? Our vision is simple. Amen. We don't have to make it complicated. It's simple. Here it is. This is my vision, and I want it to become your vision. It's my desire to add as many people to the kingdom as we can. Why make it complicated? Now, you know, the means that we're going to use can be a lot of other things that God can use us to do. But the vision is simple, to add as many people to the kingdom as we can. I'm telling you, God, I'm telling you, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they just embarrass us. You know, with a false doctrine. But they work it, man. Amen. You know, I would people be looking at us and saying, there comes those people from our father's house, oh Lord. They're gonna tell us about Jesus. So they're gonna expose us, you know, not abruptly, but I'm telling you, when you bring Jesus around, their sin's exposed. They get a little uncomfortable. All right. You know, we should, in one sense of the word, make people a little uncomfortable that are walking in darkness, because they should know there's a difference, you know. Oh no, here comes James, you know. He's filled with the baptism. All right. If, you know, so I'll close here tonight with this. I had a lot more stuff to share with you, but we'll save it. If your heart is to see the lost saved and people become, and more people become Christians, then you're in the right place. And we need to get that passion again, that desire. How many? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many can say, man, you know, I've kind of let that slip some. I get so caught up in my own little world and taking care of me. I'm too busy. How many can say you're too busy? You know, and we get so caught up in our own little world and taking care of us, and number one, that we forget about our unsaved neighbor. Amen? So we need to start focusing on them and do some things to bring them into the body of Christ and into the kingdom of God. Amen. Somebody say amen. All right. We'll talk more next week about, you know, what we have to become. How many knows the scripture where Paul said, for the Jew, I became a Jew. You know, and, he said, get this. He said, I became all things to all men that I might win some to the gospel. Bless God, I don't like what they do. I don't like how they sing, or I don't like their music. You know, it's time sometime to maybe push aside what we like. Amen? What are you saying, Pastor? Maybe we need to sing a hymn every once in a while. And I'm not suggesting that, Jill, so don't. But you know, I'm just saying, you know, but it's time to get outside of the box and say, what's going to draw people? There'll be time to worship. And there'll be time to soak. Amen? All right, y'all love me? God give us, let's pray this prayer together. God, break our hearts for the things that break your heart. Let us see those that are unsaved the way you see them, Lord. Forgive us of our pride and thinking we are something when we really are not. We're just sinners saved by grace, trusting in you. Forgive us, Lord, for looking down on the prostitutes and the drug addicts, the homosexuals, and give us a heart for them. Let us see them the way you see them. Just somebody that needs a Savior. Father, I pray you'd stir this church for evangelism and speak to me as the pastor and shepherd to come up with, give me strategic ideas and ways to win people and to be soaked. Let it all be soaked in prayer and your Spirit. Let us get hungry for a revival of lost souls. And as I spoke earlier, I proclaim again, Lord, 1,000 souls. Lord, that churches would be planted Let our destiny be fulfilled, Lord. Somebody say, use me, Lord. Come on, say it again. Say, use me, Lord. Somebody say, open doors that I might share your love with others on a daily basis to see lives changed, transformed, and people added to the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Now, can we come into agreement that we're going to start to see a revival of lost souls? Can we have an expectancy and come into agreement that somebody's going to get saved this weekend? Amen. That it becomes a domino effect, Judy, to where all of a sudden every service somebody's getting saved. Amen. You got to scoot over. I mean, like, see the prostitute come in and sit down back there. We're not going to judge her. Amen. We're going to love her. And I would that God would just move on some of you sisters, you ladies, that you would just go and just be able just to wrap your arms around. Just let God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Amen. For God so loved that he gave, amen, his only son. Hallelujah. All right. I'll stop. Let's stand. I don't know how long I talked, but evangelism starts with us. Amen.